Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So when it comes to investments, I'm not the smartest person in the world. I'm not very good with numbers. As a matter of fact, I don't know why math exists when we have computers and calculators to do all that for us. No offense, Dave. I know. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know why. I haven't figured that out yet. I remember taking the GRE to get into seminary, and I did everything great except for math. I totally bombed, and they said, don't worry, you don't need to know math as a pastor. I'm like, yes, great, that's good. I got into seminary anyways. But the reality is I'm just not good with numbers and all these things, but I do know there's some important things about investing. I know that. My wife and I have a Roth IRA. And we have a 403B and all these things, whatever they are. I just know that it's important for our future to invest, to take the gifts that God has given us and to put them into a safe place that will grow and grow, hopefully someday to serve us and to serve others, because that's important. And so I do know that much. I do know it's wise to multiply my money. It prepares me for the future so that I will be able to take care of my family, but also to be generous to others. I believe that's the whole reason that God gives us gifts in the first place is so that we will be generous to others. Of course, he wants us to be comfortable. And of course, he wants us to be able to maintain a lifestyle here in this world and to take care of ourselves. That's important. But I believe first and foremost, the reason he gives us any gift or ability, whether that be financial or a spiritual gift, is so that we can use it to take care of others. And that's really what our lesson for today is really about as we look at it. The gospel lesson for today is what I say is a harsh lesson and a true lesson about true faith. Now, I thought, oh boy, I could preach a fire and brimstone sermon. I've never done that before. I always wanted to. My grandfather was a Pentecostal pastor for 3 years, and I grew up in the South, and I always thought I could try it, but then I figured I'd be run out of town very quickly. So no fire and brimstone sermon today, but we're going to talk a little bit about the law, okay? The gospel is a lesson. The gospel lesson for today is a harsh lesson about true faith. You see, as the story goes, the master calls three servants together. He gives one of them 10 pieces of money, another one 5 pieces of money, and another one piece of money, or 2 pieces of money and 1 piece of money. And the servants go out while he's away, and one of them with the 5 invests the money and grows 5 more. The 2 grows 2 more, and the 1, well, he doesn't know the master too well. He's afraid of him and doesn't want to lose that money, so he goes out and he buries the money. He doesn't use it. And what happens when the master comes back is he calls back to an account on the gifts that he had given those servants. The one who had 5 had 10. Yay, good for you. The one who had 2 more. Yay, good for you. The one who had 1 only kept 1. And the master's like, what are you doing? You did nothing. I would have rather you done something with that money and lost it than to do nothing with the money. Go away from me. You don't understand me. You don't understand the way I work. You don't understand my heart. You don't understand anything about me, so I cast you out. You're gone. That's a harsh lesson, because what Jesus is teaching us about is the kingdom of heaven. Now, before I go any farther, I want you to get this straight. This is not about good works. We are not saved by works, but works do testify to true saving faith. Works do testify to true saving faith. In other words, if I say I'm Christian, am I producing the fruits of a Christian? And this is what Jesus says. This is what the kingdom is like. God gives us each different gifts and abilities. He gives us each different spiritual gifts and abilities. The first and biggest gift he gives us is the gift of faith. He gives you the gift of faith in baptism, in word, and in sacrament. He gives you the gift of faith, and that gift of faith is what saves you. You realize that, right? That gift of faith that Jesus has won for you through his death and his resurrection, the forgiveness, the blood he pours out upon you, the life he gives you, all of this he gives you because he loves you and wants you to be with him eternally. He wants you to be saved, and he wants you to be saved so bad that he does it all for you. He hands it to you as a free gift, and along with that gift of faith, he gives you gifts of faith. If you ever studied spiritual gifts, there's multitudes of spiritual gifts. I don't want you to think this is all about money. Money's part of the sermon, but it's more than that. It's about the investment of our life and our gifts as true Christians. Some of us have the gift of hospitality. Some of us don't. Some of us have the gift of craftsmanship. I don't have that one. If I were to use a saw, I'd chop off my hand. Trust me. My wife calls 911 with speed dial when I have a hammer around the house. This is true. Some of us have the gift of being able to minister to others and care for people, the gift of prayer, and the list goes on and on. Some of us have the gift of preaching, some of us don't. Some of us have the gift of teaching, some of us don't. That's just the reality, and each and every one of us have been built and made by God wonderfully. We're going to talk about this later, with wonderful gifts and abilities to use for his kingdom, to use every day in his kingdom, to invest them in the growth of his kingdom, to invest them in the growth of people and those around us. You see, he entrusts us with these gifts with the intent, purpose to grow his kingdom. That's what the master wanted. He wanted growth in the story for today. He wanted growth of his wealth. He wanted growth of his possessions. He wanted growth of his kingdom. That's why God has entrusted you and me with this church. Did you know that? Did you know that? This church belongs to you. I hope you realize that. And what Jesus says is, I'm entrusting it to you. I don't know what he's thinking when he called me to be a pastor. I'm going to give you a church. I laugh about that all the time. What are you thinking, dear Lord? You really messed up there. But God gives it to us, and he entrusts it to us. And he says, I want you to use the gifts and the abilities that I've given you to grow my kingdom, to grow the church, not just Christ Lutheran Church, but the greater church. Get to know people, invest in people, get to know the church, invest in the church. Take your lives and the gifts I've given you, do not bury them. Take risks with them. Take the risk of getting to know somebody who's going to tell you no when you invite them to the church. It's okay. Statistically, we know that 80% of the time, the more times you ask somebody to come to church, eventually they will say yes. Why? Because they get tired of you asking them to come to church. They will say yes. We know that. Statistically, it's true. And God wants us to use these gifts. The fact is, most churches in the United States today are dying. In the last Lutheran Witness or Reporter, I don't read any of those things because I find them depressing. Ooh, I shouldn't say that, but I do. I read the district part. It's good, okay? But there were some statistics about the Missouri Synod, and some of these statistics were quite depressing. In fact, the statistics show that in 10 years, maybe 15 years, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod will cease to exist as we know it. It's either going to merge with another church body or it's just going to die. Why? Because people are taking the gifts God has given them, and they're coming into church, and they're being comfortable in their pews, and they're doing nothing to grow the kingdom. Not a thing. Because it's good to be comfortable. It's good to be relaxed. I work all week. I put 12 hours a day in at work. I don't want to have to work at church. I don't want to have to work at my faith. Somebody else will do it. The reality is, brothers and sisters, as long as I'm your pastor, I'm here to tell you Christ Lutheran Church isn't going to die because I'm not going to let you be that way. Now, some of you may say, well, I don't want to do that, so I'm going to leave Christ Lutheran Church. That's okay. Because we're going to work. Because we're not going to die. That's my promise to you. Even if the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod or every other church around us dies, Christ Lutheran Church will be here, not because of my work, not because of your work, but because of the work of the Holy Spirit in us, who takes the gifts that God has given us and uses us to multiply those gifts by investing in the lives of others around us, by getting to know our neighbors and our coworkers and our fellow students. Stephanie keeps saying, how do you know that about the neighbor across the street? Because I'm nosy. I go talk to them. Be nosy with your neighbors. Get to know them. Invest in their lives. Invest the gifts that God has given you back into the kingdom. If you don't know the gifts God has given you, pray about it. Come to me. Take a spiritual gift inventory. We can work on those things. But use the gifts God has given you to grow and multiply the kingdom and the church. Because what God says is, that's what true faith is. If you're not investing and multiplying your faith, you need to look at your life and question, where is my faith? That's a harsh statement. That's a legalistic statement, but it's a true statement. Because the reality is, true faith will multiply the kingdom of God. True faith will grow the church. True faith will not let a church die. That's harsh. But my brothers and sisters, sometimes we have to take a realistic look at our lives. And as we approach the end of the church year, as we start focusing on the end of times, that's what God calls us to do, is to take a harsh step back and evaluate, where is my faith? How am I multiplying for growth in the kingdom of God? Okay, enough law. But there's some more. God blesses our generosity and the wise use of his gifts by pouring out more into our lives for the purpose of growing his kingdom. I firmly believe this. I firmly believe without any doubt that God blesses us tenfold when we use the gifts, including the financial gifts and the spiritual gifts he gives to us, to grow his kingdom. I believe that. I know that. There's no doubt about that. I've seen it in my own life. I remember one Sunday right after we got married, I had some health problems, big health problems. That's where my thorn in the flesh is. Satan likes to do that, by the way. So just don't worry about my health, because that's just Satan. So anyways, Steph and I put the last cent we had that weekend to the offering plate at church. We didn't know where groceries were going to come from. We didn't know if we were going to be able to pay some of the medical bills. And lo and behold, in front of our door of our apartment one day, there's a bag of groceries and a check in it from the LWML, Lutheran Women's Missionary League, from the headquarters, giving us money to help us through the week and to pay our medical bills. God blesses us tenfold. If you don't believe him, put him to the test. It's okay, because he promises that. God loves it when we use our gifts for him. He loves it when we step out of our comfort zone. He loves it when we take the challenge and we step out and to truly serve him and to invest our faith and our gifts in making the kingdom grow. He will bless it tenfold, I promise you. You may look at my life and say, well, wait a minute, you've had PTSD, you've had mental health issues, you've had two children die. How has God blessed you tenfold? In all of those things, God has blessed us tenfold. In tenfold ways, we have been able to share the kingdom. In ways that are multiplying, I'm able more and more to go into the hearts and lives of people to share my story of PTSD, to share the death of our children and the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ and what that means for the kingdom. People come to faith through that. The kingdom grows through that. Those are gifts that God gives us so that the Jesus may be glorified. His work on the cross and his work in the resurrection may be glorified into the hearts and lives of people so they can be connected to true and overwhelming love, forgiveness, and salvation. God blesses generosity and with the wise use of his gifts tenfold. And if you don't believe me, I have some passages from Scripture. Proverbs 11, 23 through 25. The desire of the righteous ends only in good, but the hope of the wicked only in wrath. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another one withholds duly, but becomes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. In sharing our faith, in sharing the gifts that God has given us, we will be blessed. We will be refreshed. We will be renewed. We will be restored. Why does God do that? So that other people may see the glorious works of our Father and give him praise and come to know him. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you decide to give in your own heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You don't have to tithe. You don't have to go out tomorrow and save the world. That's not what God is asking. He's asking for one soul, one person for you to connect to grow the kingdom. And that's what he wants. And God loves it because it comes from a cheerful heart, because that's what true faith is, right? Do we have any reason not to be cheerful? Do we have any reason to give grudgingly? We don't have any of those reasons. Our sins are forgiven. God has given us the faith to know that he died on the cross for us and to believe it. He's given us the faith to know that he rose from the dead and to believe it. He's given us the faith to know that he ascended into heaven and believe it. He's given us the faith to know that he's in heaven right now and forgives us for when we fail, forgives us when we fail to use his gifts, forgives us when we are stingy and selfish with our gifts and our times and our talents and our treasure. He forgives all of those things so that he can set us back and shine the light of Jesus in our lives. God does that because he's a merciful and loving God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Brothers and sisters, this is about kingdom growth. In all our growth, in all our generosity and serving, we must remember the proper relationship of law and gospel, salvation and works, lest our faith be choked to death by self-righteousness, salvation rooted outside of the gospel. I'm going to read that again. This is important. In all our growth and generosity and serving, we must remember the proper relationship of law and gospel, salvation and works, lest our faith be choked to death by self-righteousness and salvation rooted outside of the gospel. I forget who it was. I wish I had remembered the name, but it was a Lutheran theologian who once said that we must remember that the gospel is the mother of salvation. Gospel is the mother of salvation. Sanctification and good works is the daughter of salvation. But be careful, because the daughter can rise up and kill the mother. Brothers and sisters, so many people today believe that we're saved by works. And that's so untrue. I'm here to tell you that every good work you do outside of faith means nothing to God. Nothing at all. Even bad people do good things and it means nothing to God, because it's outside of faith. The reason we're able to multiply the kingdom, the reason we're able to use the gifts God has given us, the reason we're able to be generous in the first place is first and foremost because he saved us. That is the gospel. Until we come to the knowledge of surrender to the gospel, to a point where we can admit that it doesn't depend on me and there's nothing that I can do to earn my salvation, faith is stunted in its growth. But once we come to that point, faith grows and blossoms as we are firmly rooted in the vine, Jesus Christ, which produces good works and wonderful fruit. Matthew 5 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." That comes after Ephesians 2:8-9, "For it is by grace you have been saved, not by works." Even before your birth, God created you in the womb. He knit you together perfectly. He gave you every good and perfect gift because he loves you. In baptism, he gave you Jesus for your salvation and unleashed those gifts for the kingdom of heaven. In the Word, he continues to grow those gifts by the power of his Holy Spirit. And in the Lord's Supper, he strengthens you to carry out those gifts. We are called to multiply the kingdom of God by multiplying our faith. It's plain and simple. And what a joyous task it is. And how wonderful it is as we, the people of God, use our gifts and abilities to grow his church, to grow his kingdom. Because when we do, the world changes. There will be less shootings, because there will be more love. There will be less child abuse, because there will be more love. There will be less divorces, because there will be more love. And it starts with you and me in rejoicing in our salvation and forgiveness, in leaping outside of these church doors every Sunday into the world around us to tell everyone about Jesus. In his name, amen.